This is episode 12 of season 3, Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, featuring Catherine D'Antonio from My Climate.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host, Barbara Lee.
We are so excited to be introducing you to our partners and the beneficiaries of our ads and sponsorship dollars for this season, My Climate. In the US, each individual produces about 40 tons of CO2 emissions every year. When you think about the fact that My Climate has removed 80 billion tons of CO2 from the atmosphere since they were first started, it seems like a lot, but really there's still so much work for us to do. Catherine is the head of corporate partnerships at My Climate. She lives in Zurich and started working at this nonprofit because she wanted to pursue a job that helped make a positive impact on the planet. Catherine tells us about My Climate's programs that help to remove carbon from the atmosphere and reduce carbon emissions across the globe. At the end, Catherine shares with us one of her inspiring moments and gives us her tip on how to reduce your carbon footprint, even while you're at home. Let's get trash talking. Hey, Catherine, welcome to Trash Talking.
Hello, Barbara. Thank you for having me at your show. I'm very glad I can give you a little bit insight into what I do.
Yeah.
First, a few words about myself. I'm 41 years old. I have two little girls, 5 and 7 years old. And I've been working for the last nearly 15 years for the Swiss nonprofit foundation, My Climate. As the name already suggests, My Climate is an organization which is active in climate protection. And my specific position at My Climate is head corporate partnerships, and I'm also a member of the management committee. And in concrete, in my everyday professional life, my job is to find companies who are interested to become active in climate protection, and we work together with them on this very important topic. We have a lot of different services related to climate protection. First of all, of course, we need to do CO2 calculations in order to know what we are talking about, and then once we know the CO2 emissions, we can consult companies on how to reduce those emissions, or we can offer them our climate protection projects to offset the emissions. That's what we do with companies. We also offer several climate protection activities for individuals. As an individual, you can go on our website, myclimate.org, also calculate your CO2 footprint there and then offset it by making a contribution to our projects. Or you can also become active in climate education. That's our department that focuses on sensibilization for the topic of climate change and climate protection. And there we work on the one side also with companies in order to sensitize really every employee for this so important topic. But we also go into schools, work with younger people in order to make them aware of the problem and in order to incentivize them to become active in climate protection.
Yeah, no, that's really amazing. And we've had several shows before where we've kind of chatted about, you know, calculating your carbon offsets. And I've actually worked on a carbon project down in Africa. But for folks who don't kind of understand, like, can you give us an example of like one of the projects that you might be doing that helps offset carbon?
Well, very generally spoken, we have three types of projects, three different ways to reduce CO2 emissions. One way is to replace fossil fuels with renewable energy sources. A second way is to promote energy efficient technologies and activities. And the third possibility is to increase the capacity of natural things to store CO2. For example, forests, moors, mangroves that store CO2. That's on a very general level. Then on another general level, we have two types of projects. Every of our projects either focuses on communities, which means that our project partners on the ground, they really go into communities and households and, for example, install solar home systems, energy efficient cook stoves, or small scale biogas plants. Or the other type of projects, it's more industrial projects, large scale projects, where we have one big energy production facility, like, for example, a big solar power station. Or another possibility could be a big biomass power station. So these are the different types of projects. To give you one example, a very typical project from my climate is one that we have in Madagascar. There we promote energy efficient and also solar cookstoves.
Yeah.
Throughout the world, nearly still every person cooks on open, every third person cooks on open fires, which of course is on the one side very inefficient when it comes to the fuel, which is wood, but at the same time also causes many health problems. And if we just introduce very simple cook stoves, which don't cost a lot, we can increase the efficiency depending on the type by 50, but also up to 90%. And on the other hand, also the whole health situation is improved because there's much less smoke that is yeah. produced.
I guess if anyone's been camping, I'm sure they understand like how inefficient it can be.
Women there, they spend every day hours in the fire cooking. And if you've been to Africa, I'm sure you have seen the situation. They also carry their babies with them the whole day on their back.
Yeah.
And also those little babies are already exposed many hours a day to that harmful smoke. And of course, all the diseases with the eye, but also the with respiration, it's massive.
Yeah. So this is so interesting because you're kind of touching on a couple things here, right? It's the different projects that you have, which is both educational based and also a little bit based in like conservation work, but then also community work, which is very important. Anything that we do within the environment like deeply affects people.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. And when it comes to our projects, we always have two ways to look at them. Of course, the first condition that they need to fulfill is that they need to reduce CO2 emissions, and it needs to be possible to calculate and to monitor those CO2 reduction. And that's, for example, the reason why we can't support any research or development projects, because there you don't have a proven technology yet. So our projects, they always implement technologies that have been proven that they work. So that's the first, that's the basis of everything. But that's not enough for us. We always go one step further, and this means that we always look at the projects in a holistic way. We have been doing this since the beginning. We have always checked every project very carefully in order to be sure that they have a positive impact on the population in the project region. By now, we've had our own framework for those sustainability benefits. By now, since a few years, we have the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs. And by now, we use them as a framework to check each of the projects, how do they contribute to the fulfillment of those 17 goals. It's a set of very diverse goals. Of course, not every project contributes to every of those 17 goals, but on average, it's, especially the community-based project, it's around 10 to even a dozen of those 17 SDGs that they contribute to.
Wow, that's amazing. And so I know you mentioned Madagascar is one of the locations. Where are other locations where your projects are based?
Mm-hmm. Well, our projects, they are basically based throughout the world. In total, by now we have a portfolio of around 125 projects in nearly 40 countries worldwide. It's on all continents. If we look at the countries, by now we have most projects in Switzerland, but it's very small projects. In other countries, we have a smaller number of projects, but projects with a very large volume of emission reductions. And in the end, that's what counts, because our contribution to climate protection is counted in the amount of tons of CO2 emissions that we can reduce. And to give you a number here, last year it was around 1.5 million tons of CO2 that we have been able to reduce. In total, since My Climate was funded in 2002, it's around 8 million tons of CO2 emissions. And in our portfolio, our projects throughout the lifespan, they will reduce another few million of CO2. And of course, we are expanding our portfolio every year.
Yeah, well, that's super impressive. I guess to give people some idea of scale, how much carbon does one person emit, like in the US or in Europe?
In the US, I'm not 100% sure. I think it's around 20 tons. Here in Europe, it's around 14 tons. It's always the question what you look at. If you look at official national emission inventories, you always only find the direct emissions. And we always say, if you only count the direct emissions that are produced within the national boundaries, that's only half of the truth. Because, for example, here in Switzerland, we have very, very low direct emissions. It's not even 6 tons of CO2 per year.
Wow.
But if we look at the total average emissions per person per year here in Switzerland, and if we also take into account the indirect emissions mm-hmm. that we import by buying all the products from other countries, services, etc., then it's more than double of that amount. Then it's right. around 14 tons. So you really need always to look at your whole carbon footprint. And if somebody of the listeners is interested to get a little bit more into detail, on our website we have different carbon calculators, also one for your footprint. It's a very straightforward calculator, so you just need to answer a couple of questions linked to your consumption behavior. And of course, it doesn't give you the 100% exact personal carbon footprint, but it gives you an idea where you stand compared to average emissions. And that's the first step.
And why is this important to you, Catherine?
It's important to me because, first of all, I would like to have a job that is meaningful, because in the end you spend such a lot of time with your job. So I couldn't ever do a job where I couldn't say that's something useful. And I had the luck that since I finished my studies, I have always been working in the field of sustainability and nearly most of the time in climate protection. So that's one reason on the personal level. Another more general reason is that I think climate change and climate protection that's really one of the big challenges of our generation and of the next generation. Of course, I'm not the one who can solve this problem for the world, but I think in my everyday life with my team, which is also very much devoted to this topic, we can make a difference, and we can help companies, but also individuals that care for this topic to become active. And last but not least, I have two little girls, and I also see that my generation, also the generation of our parents, it's really our responsibility to do everything to give them a chance to also enjoy the beauty of our planet.
What's your, if you could give someone one step to reduce their carbon footprint at home today in like the pandemic mm-hmm. age, what would be your recommendation?
Well, it's difficult to give the one single recommendation, but generally spoken, it's three areas that you can look at. One is, of course, mobility, which has a very large CO2 footprint. Another one is the energy consumption. And at the moment, of course, we use more energy at home. So if you still use energy or heating based on fossil fuels, you could start to think of alternatives. In some cases, when it comes to electricity, it's just a question of money. If you are able and also willing to pay a little bit more, you can switch from a fossil electricity mix to a renewable electricity mix. When it comes to heating, it's a little bit more complex because, of course, you have infrastructure in your house. Therefore, in that area, it's maybe more a long-term or middle-term investment decision. And otherwise, in everyday consumption behavior, it's of course when it comes to food, it's always good to buy regional and seasonal food. When it comes to consumption of electronic devices, clothes, etc., of course, everything that is used that you can use longer than expected, it's of course it's not a big, but it's a small contribution to climate protection. Because in every service that we consume and every product that we consume, there's energy that has been used to produce it. And every energy is means CO2 emissions. So the longer you use it, the less CO2 you produce. And I think it's those small steps that not one step that makes a difference, but if we sum it up and if everybody in everyday life takes some small steps, I think we can make a difference. But of course, at the same time, also the political level, we also have to focus on the political level and work towards having stricter and more ambitious regulations in order to reach the goals of the Paris Agreement that we have agreed on a few years ago.
Yeah, those are all great tips. Do you have like a fun or inspiring moment like while you've been doing this work that you could share with the audience?
Well, I have to say every time when we can motivate a company to become active, of course that's a very good moment for us, because we have seen it's another step towards reaching the Paris climate protection goals. But to give you a very concrete example, for me, it's always very impressive and also very emotional when I get to visit our climate protection projects, because then it gets real, and we see what we work for and what we through the money that we collect from companies who do something in climate protection, what difference this financial revenues make on the ground. I get to visit projects every few years. I've been in Brazil, in the Amazon, in Eastern Africa, also in Nepal. But one very impressive moment, and it was also the last trip that I did at the beginning of last year, in 2019, I was able to visit our Cookstoff project in Rwanda. And Rwanda has, together with the neighboring countries, they have the only left population of mountain gorillas. It's a few hundred mountain gorillas. And our project helps to preserve their living area, because by introducing efficient cook stoves, you need less wood, and therefore the pressure of the local communities around the national park decreases, because they need less wood from the forest.
Wow.
And on the last day, we also got the chance to make a hiking trip in the national park there. It's the Volcanoes National Park, and we were able to visit one family of mountain gorillas. It's very much regulated, because of course they are highly protected, but you get the chance to visit them. You can stay with them for 1 hour. And it was a very emotional moment, because you walk for hours, you don't know when you are able to see them. And suddenly you see a first one and then a second one. And then after 10 minutes, we were surrounded by a family of around, I think it was around 20, 25 mountain gorillas, from very small babies that were just a few months old, up to silverbacks that are 20, 30 years old. And we were in the middle of them, and you could also really see how close they are to us humans. When it was over, I had tears in my eyes when suddenly all the emotions came out. So I would have never expected that it's possible to experience such an emotional moment. And then when I can tell myself in my everyday life, I do something to preserve the habitat of those animals, and to also help them to let the populations get larger again. It was really a very beautiful and really very emotional moment.
That's amazing. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for being on the show and chatting with us, and for sharing all your knowledge.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Hey, Eco Warriors. Thanks for listening in for this season. We are thrilled to announce that we've raised over $200 to donate to My Climate this season. We wanted to thank you for listening, sharing, and rating the podcast, because just by listening every week, you've helped to make a difference. Offsetting your carbon footprint is an easy, simple thing that you can do at the end of every single year. Go to myclimate.org and check out their carbon calculator. From there, you can choose which programs you'd like to contribute to in order to help remove carbon from the atmosphere. This was supposed to be our last episode of the season, but we have one more bonus episode for you before the end of the year. Tune in next week for our very last bonus episode, which features one of my favorite companies, Imperfect Foods. Stay green, Rebels. Season 3 of Trash Talking with Eco Warriors is sponsored by Plain Products. Plain Products is a zero-waste personal care company that uses refillable aluminum bottles. Their shampoos, soaps, and oils are toxin-free and vegan, so they're good for you and good for the planet. Visit the link in the show notes or go to plainproducts.com. That's PLAINE products.com and use promo code TRASHY20 to get 20% off your first order of zero waste shampoos, conditioners, and hand sanitizer.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at TrashyBeautyCo.